Our special guests this morning are violinist Elena Bahala and conductor Leonard Slatkin, here to tell us about their upcoming concerts with the Hawaii Symphony this weekend at the Blaisdell Concert Hall, a program which will include the Sibelius Violin Concerto, the Symphony No. 2 by Brahms, and the premiere of a work by an American composer, Cindy McTee. Good morning, Elena, Mr. Slatkin.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Elena, I notice with Finnish names the emphasis is often on the first syllable. Is that a general rule?
Well, yeah, it is.
This will be the first appearance in the islands for both of you.
Correct.
Yes.
You two
not professionally, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So you two have collaborated before?
Yes. What was it, about 4 years ago?
Something like that.
We did the Corigliano Violin Concerto in both Nashville and in Detroit, and then the Sibelius we did a couple months ago in Lyon, and now here. And then in 2 weeks, we're doing the Bernstein Serenade together in Helsinki.
Now, Elena, is it safe to say that you have a particularly close relationship with the Sibelius Concerto?
Well, I guess as a Finnish violinist, it's kind of taken that we grow up with this piece. And I have played it a lot. But let's say I didn't perform it too much when I was too young. But since I was about 25 years old, then it has really been essential part of my repertoire.
Now, I didn't realize there are two versions of this score, and you've played both of them.
I played both of them. The first version is very different. Of course, it has some of them and most of the same material, but also lots of material that he completely erased, and it's actually quite astonishing what he did in terms of putting the form much tighter and he cleaned it up, so to say. And so even if I miss some of the wonderful material, especially from the first movement, he managed to really make a diamond out of it.
He would do the same thing with the Fifth Symphony. There are two versions, the original one being in four movements, and then he, again, compressed. And eventually, when you come to the Seventh Symphony, that's the ultimate in compression of a symphonic statement.
So this weekend will be the familiar version of the violin concerto.
Yes, actually, in order to perform the first version, you need a special permission from the family, because Sibelius did just pull it back and revised very heavily. Mm.
I won't mention names, but I've heard violinists come to grief in the Sibelius Concerto and yet play other things perfectly well. Is there a level of difficulty to the Sibelius that sets it apart from other concertos?
It is a very athletic concerto in terms of violin technique. And let's say if we compare with a Tchaikovsky concerto, you have a kind of a opportunity to rest a little bit in the second movement, but in Sibelius you don't get that chance. It's emotionally also very draining if you are not careful, so I think that might affect the technical part as well.
There's also a very interesting technical part about the form. All concertos, or most of them anyway, usually have a theme and then a second theme, and then you develop it, and then you have more or less a repeat of the same material in a coda. There's no real development here. The only development that happens is during the cadenza. You know, the orchestra doesn't take part in the development of the material. It's really interesting.
So compared to the classics of the repertoire that preceded it, you'd say its form is a bit more rhapsodic.
Absolutely.
And from the very beginning, the orchestra plays a major role in setting the atmosphere.
Yeah, the atmosphere is as if there was clouds going over a frozen lake, perhaps. And then this one person comes out and just rhapsodizes. The dynamic contrasts are strong, I think.
Oh, yes. And there's something very solitary about the opening of the concerto, very much. But quite quickly, somehow the solo part, and also then the first orchestral tutti, it's getting very dramatic, the character, and kind of turbulent and restless. But then we have moments of really wonderful beauty, serenity.
Let's hear a bit of the opening from the Sibelius Violin Concerto. From the first movement, we heard a portion of the Violin Concerto by Sibelius. We'll hear it performed at the Blaisdell this weekend, Saturday at 7:30, and again on Sunday, 4 p.m., and our soloist will be Elena Vahala, and Leonard Slatkin will conduct. They're both our guests here on today's Morning Cafe. Now, Leonard, you've held some prominent posts as music director of the St. Louis Symphony, the National Symphony Orchestra, and the Detroit Symphony, which recently named you Conductor Laureate, the first time it's been done in the history of that orchestra. But these days, you prefer to freelance.
Well, it starts, actually, in June. I have three more weeks to conduct in Detroit as the orchestra's music director. And that will mark 41 years of having run orchestras without really a break in between at all. With each of the orchestras, I think I accomplished the goals I set out to. And when you do that, you begin to say, okay, well, what's next? What do you do? And for me, after all this time, I'll be 75 in a year and a half, I really want to unburden myself of administrative responsibilities. Not that I don't love them, and not that I haven't enjoyed it. But these days I have other things I do. I write books, I compose music, I'm going to be doing a series of videos about learning how to conduct about 25 of the major works in the canon. I want to do some more traveling and just in general take a little bit easier time from the actual conducting.
I know this is a terrible question to ask, but do you have a favorite orchestra?
It is a terrible question to ask. do I have a favorite orchestra? There are two kinds of orchestras, though. One is where you have relationships. As a music director, your role is very different than being a guest conductor because you're responsible for everything, programming, the hiring and dismissal of any musicians, the overall structure of a season. So that's your home. So really what you might be asking is outside of your home, do I have favorite places that I go? I have loved my music directorship orchestras, certainly, but I have special relationships with orchestras like Pittsburgh, New York Philharmonic, various orchestras in Germany, and the NHK in Japan. I go there on a regular basis. And again, one of the changes that will occur is I'll continue to see those orchestras, but I'm also going to do what I'm doing right here, and that's to conduct orchestras that I've never worked with before, just to see what else is out there in the world.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How about a favorite concert hall? You can be reasonably objective about that.
Yes. I do love the one in Detroit, and Elena will agree. But I really like St. David's in Cardiff, Wales. That's a great, great hall. I love that one very much. There's a hall in Katowice, Poland. Incredible hall. Really good. There are a number of these smaller cities or places you don't normally think of. And what I consider a great hall, to me, is one where there's really good presence on the stage, both in the low end being nice and rich and resonant, and the high end not being too shrill. That's important to me, the sound of the hall. And the other one is that the orchestra has the ability to hear itself on stage. You'd be surprised how many halls the violins can't hear what the cellos are doing.
St. Louis had a nice live
very
hall.
Nice hall. Yeah. A little bit too big, 2,500 seats, but it's a wonderful hall. Detroit I like a little better because it's smaller and has slightly more even sonority for what it is.
That's a relatively new hall.
The Detroit Hall?
Yeah.
No, it's an old hall. It was built in 1919 at the request of Osip Gavrilovich, who said he wouldn't take the job unless they built him a hall. Oh. But what happened was, in the 1940s, they decided they needed a bigger hall. And so they left Orchestra Hall, turned it into a jazz hall, and the orchestra moved to Ford Auditorium, a behemoth that was awful. And then about 15 years, no, maybe a little more, they decided to go back to the old Orchestra Hall, which was about to be demolished, kind of the Carnegie Hall story. Mm-hmm. And there was a big campaign to save the hall, and we're all very grateful they did.
How about the National Symphony? I liked it when someone said, you put the National back in the National Symphony Orchestra. You've always been a champion of American music.
I was also criticized heavily for the programming so much American music, but I did think if you're going to call yourself the National Symphony, that's maybe your mission, your priority. And yes, as an American, I'm proud of the repertoire, both the repertoire of the classic American composers, which seems to be fading from our concert halls. You don't hear very much Roy Harris, Walter Piston, Roger Sessions, even Howard Hanson, occasionally William Schumann Copeland, certainly. But a lot of those composers are going by, not to mention that generation after that, Jacob Druckmann or Donald Erb, wonderful composers. This is all in favor of the new ability of composers to reach into more diverse parts of the musical culture and have music where the audience isn't frightened away when they hear it. And we'll be playing one of those pieces to begin our program.
Right, your wife, Cindy McTeague.
It is McTeague, my wife's piece, right. Cindy. And this piece is called Finish Line. It's about cars. She loves cars and jazz. So the two ideas are sort of fused. Very energetic piece. I sometimes refer to this type of music as contemporary for music for people who don't like contemporary music.
RCA Victor came out with a series of recordings. Opera for People Who Hate Opera. Classical music for people who hate classical music. They were bestsellers. We're speaking with conductor Leonard Slatkin and violinist Elena Vahala. They'll be with the Hawaii Symphony Orchestra this weekend. Two performances, Saturday at 7:30 and Sunday at 4 p.m., both performances at the Blaisdell Concert Hall. And Leonard, you've chosen the most lyrical of the Brahms symphonies to round out the program, the Symphony No. 2.
Well, certainly the sunniest. One could argue that the Third Symphony, in lyricism perhaps, could equal or top it. But what I try to do when I work with orchestras that I've never had the opportunity to conduct is to choose a program where I think you can get acquainted very easily. Doesn't mean the program is easy, but it's music for the most part that's eminently playable. Musicians enjoy playing it, and it's good in establishing a relationship with that orchestra. You can bring your own personality to all of the works, and at the same time you can gauge what you can do with the orchestra by your first rehearsal, which is what we did last night. I was very, very pleased at how well the orchestra was adjusting to me, and I hope they were pleased at how I was adjusting to them. I think it's a fine orchestra, And that by the time we get around to the performances, we should be in really, really good shape.
As a conductor, what can you bring to a work that's so familiar? In other words, how would you describe a Leonard Slatkin performance?
I have changed a great deal in my conducting lifetime. My earlier years, and maybe even through what you call the middle ones, were more concerned about bringing out this detail here and a little thing here. It could be a crescendo, it could be an accent, whatever. Now it's almost exclusively about the architecture of the work, getting from the beginning to the end, so you feel you've had this continual journey with the occasional rest stop between movements. So it has to do with tempo relationships, when the tunes come back in a certain way. It has to do with where the composer deviates from what they did the first time. So nowadays it's more about that, but it also does continue to be about the sound of the orchestra, a little bit like we were talking with the hall. I prefer a really rich, deep string sound, even when it's soft, even when it's soft. And that comes mostly because most of my family were string players. And I heard this sound coming from my home every day since, well, even before I was born.
You're referring to the Hollywood String Quartet.
And the work my parents did in the motion picture studios at 20th Century. If you've seen any film from the mid-1930s through 1956, if it's a violin solo and it's Fox, it's my dad. If it's a cello solo and it's Warner's, it's my mom. If it's a piano solo and it's Warner's, it's my uncle.
Before you leave, Leonard, tell us about the concert tomorrow, the Pops concert. Film music, John Williams.
Yeah, when they contacted me about coming here, and I'm glad it fit into the date really well. First thing I did was ask for Elena. It was the first thing. And the second thing was they said, we have a Pops concert to start the week. Would I be interested in doing it? But they're happy to bring in somebody else. I said, absolutely not. I love doing Pops concerts, reaching a different audience. And they said, you can do that whatever you want. And for this one, I'm doing a John Williams program where we have a combination of some of his bestsellers. I guess everything of his is a bestseller. But also a few works that maybe are not quite on the radar in terms of being heard on a regular basis. So we'll hear, yes, music from E.T., music from Star Wars, the Indiana Jones March is there. But there's also The Book Thief, which I think is extraordinary piece of music, really, really nice. And a couple other ones along the way, including music from the latest Star Wars film.
And that's tomorrow at 7:30.
I'll be telling a lot of stories because I know John really well.
Okay, that's great. Elena Vahala, Leonard Slatkin, have been our special guests this morning. Do you plan on doing any sightseeing, Elena?
Well, my plan is to go and walk somewhere there on the beach. That's something I don't get to do too often, so I'm going to take this opportunity.
Even in Finland?
There are no palm trees in Finland? Really?
The land of a thousand lakes?
You know, I remember saying to the composer, Kara Saliejo, she lives in Paris now, she's a great composer, but a little lacking on the sense of humor side. And I said, you used to live in Helsinki. I guess you left because you could only sing Night and Day twice a year. Nothing from her. No smile, no nothing.
Leonard Slatkin and Elena Vahala, it's been a special pleasure having you here today. Once again, the concerts will be on Saturday and Sunday, 7:30. It's an evening performance on Saturday and a matinee on Sunday at 4 p.m. The Sibelius Violin Concerto, the Brahms Second Symphony, and a world premiere of a...
Actually not. Hawaiian premiere.
A local premiere of a work by Cindy McTee, who just happens to be the wife of Leonard Slatkin. Once again, special pleasure this morning, and hope you have a good turnout for the concert this
weekend.
Thanks
for having us.
Thank you.